Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
$300 million going into it. As you saw yesterday, some incredible announcements of what's coming, some, you know, speculation that this, there could be more one day. I don't know. We'll see. The Rogers Center updates were shared by everybody, especially on the broadcast yesterday. Here's a little clip, just giving you a rundown of what's to come.
It's going to be dramatically different. So first time, I think it's not going to stand out. It's going to look more like what a ballpark should look like in the modern sports entertainment landscape. But I think for fans that have been coming here for a long period of time, and you take that in concert with the new scoreboard, which still on a nightly basis, and the new lights and the new sound system and field, you know, we're starting to see that gradual change that into phase two, when we completely change the lower bowl, will be dramatic.
That was Mark Shapiro talking on the broadcast with Buck and Dan last night. He says, taking this from a stadium to a ballpark. And I like that phrasing, because a lot of people know that the Rogers Center is quite old, and it was originally built to be able to accommodate monster truck shows and football games. And so a lot of the criteria were much different than a modern ballpark. So some of the things that they're changing: raised bullpens, which I think is one of the best parts of the announcement. You see the renderings, and it just looks like a completely different type of atmosphere if you're warming up the bullpen. And also, if you're a fan, you're right on top of the action. You're basically in the bullpen with the players, which can be great. Also could be interesting with the opposing bullpen warming up, especially with the amount of new beer gardens and such that have been announced, that there might be some rowdy fans possibly in and amongst the bullpen areas. Lots of more lounge options. And I know if you've been down to the Rogers Center, you have to really hustle to get to the WestJet flight deck if you want one of those railing spots. And if you're unfortunately not one of the first 50 people, you're kind of in the abyss. You know, you're hovering, you're looking for a spot. This is going to open up a lot more area for fans to just chill. And as Mark Shapiro put it, maybe you're not there to watch every single pitch and every single at-bat, but you want to be in the experience. You want to be able to feel like you're at a ballpark, but maybe you want to hang out with friends and then catch a home run. So they're going to have some more lounge areas initiated in there in the updates. A big one that a lot of people ask for, and I'd love you to text in 590-590 what you're most excited about with the changes, maybe something that you're hoping gets added in if it wasn't in the initial announcement of the $300 million. A lot of people yesterday were hoping for some changes to the seats. Well, they'll be angling the seats towards the field of play, so that was obviously one of the things that was not created in the original plans, because you had to kind of face outwards for all the other things that might be happening. Going to be angling those, so less kinks in your neck, a little bit more comfortable viewing. Center field is an interesting one. The renderings show that there's different levels of the outfield, where some jut out and some jut in, and there's different levels of heights of the fences, which is a very interesting change. I'm going to definitely ask Ricky Romero this at 9:30 when he joins, what kind of changes that would mean to be an outfielder. If you're a hitter, are you specifically going to aim for one of those shorter ranges of the outfield? And I know a lot of you want grass. Okay, no grass was announced. Maybe down the road. I think that might have cost a little bit more in the budget. So text in 590-590. You can send me a message on Twitter or Instagram. Let me know how you're feeling about the Rogers Center upgrades, if there's something they're missing, or what one of the future or favorite ballparks of yours that you have that you want to have replicated. Okay. Let's pivot to talking to an old friend of mine, probably one of the people I've known the longest in my life, that's still in my life, someone that I played with growing up, a Keswick local, actually has a day named after her now in the Georgina region, Erin Ambrose. Defense on the Canadian women's national team, 2022 Olympic gold medalist, and a Keswick local. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Ailish. How are we today?
Oh, we're doing well. I'm 1 hour, less than an hour away from my long weekend, so I get to finish it off with two great guests. You and Ricky Romero are up next. I know you two have met recently, so you're buds. So it's a great day all around. I know you're coming from workout too, so sorry to jump in on your day, but what were we doing today at workout?
Well, to be honest, we're just making the body feel good. We did not work out. We just got a little treatment.
I love it. Sounds like me on a regular basis, okay?
I am a little disappointed that you're only asking Ricky about changes to the
Give me what you like, Erin.
We're going to stay with the pro. But
all right.
I think as a fan, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I certainly am. I like to get down there and enjoy. Sounds like there's going to be more opportunities to have a casual beer. It'll be fun. We'll have to go down there sometime this summer. But I know that your summer is getting busy now. The World Championships are just right around the corner, somehow snuck up on us. This year in Denmark, which is a first. I don't know if you've been, but an exciting change. What's the team up to now heading into that World Championship after coming off a gold medal?
Well, we have a lot in front of us. We head out on Tuesday. They're actually flying the Olympic team in a day early to have our ring ceremony because we only got our
Ceremony. You're going to need more hands.
We got two. So, yeah, we have that Tuesday night and then in the fitness testing and camp, and then they'll name the team on August 14th.
Amazing. So that's out in Calgary, right?
Correct. So we're there for a good 10 days. There's 80 players going this year, which is very exciting.
Wow. Okay. So some youngins, I assume?
I assume so, because there's a lot of names that I don't know.
Mine wasn't on the list, eh?
I was shocked.
Yeah, me too, honestly. I've been waiting by my phone. I guess I didn't send in my demo of my off-season training well enough. I just want to ask a little bit about the fitness testing, because I love to be able to share what the real athletes go through. I remember, we both went to NCAA. We played at that level. I remember doing fitness testing for that. But just give the listeners a bit of an insight into what an elite Olympic athlete gets tested for at these, tryout camps.
I think the better question, Ailish, is what do we not get tested for? It's going to be a long list. It's only over 2 days, so it's going to be pretty quick. But
oh my God, you're probably so sore by the end of it.
Dreaded beep test is coming at us. They're actually adding some on-ice speed testing, I think, this year, which will be really good to see. And then the typical bench chin-ups.
How many chin-ups can you do?
Well, last year I could do 13. We're definitely not there this year. Yeah, I know. For this little body, it's not bad.
Wow. I remember freshman year at Dartmouth, I couldn't do any chin-ups. You just hang there, and it's the most embarrassing feeling. You're just devastated. It's you're humbled. And then by senior year, I got up to 8, and I thought, I'm going to go into CrossFit. I'm an elite athlete. But 13, now I'm embarrassed that I even said that out loud.
Once you get over 1, it just seems to come. But
right?
I think if we got to 10, we'd be very happy, but I'm not sure if the body's ready for that.
I believe in you. Okay, so on the other side of that, I want another insight from you. You got to spill all the gossip. You win a gold medal, okay? Your first Olympics, so you're 1 for 1. Not a big deal. What is the next day, week, month? I know you've been on quite the celebration tour. Erin and I actually were at the F1 race this summer. You've been all over the place traveling, enjoying yourself. Just what happens when you win a gold medal? I'll never know. So I need to know right now.
It was pretty surreal, to be honest. I think we were fortunate enough. A lot of teams wanted us to come out and do get honored at center ice, which was really, really fun. We did Montreal, which was probably my favorite, and that kills me to say as a Leafs fan. But it was just the Bell Center and the way that it erupted when Marie-Philippe Poulin's name got called. Like,
Why is she good?
Apparently, she's like the best ever.
Wow.
But it's been awesome. Like, we did the Habs game, the Sens game. Us as a team, we went to the Heritage Classic.
Oh, that was
really
cool.
Really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and being out there for the national anthem was pretty special. So we've been all over the place. Jay's home opener, which was, for me, probably one of the most special ones, just because I've always been a Jays fan. And it was supposed to be the whole team, but then they did Olympians across the board. So when I made the cut for the home opener, I was jumping up and down. And Sarah Nurse disappointed me with her opening pitch.
Yeah,
but
me too.
We're going to work on that for next year.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure she'll get another opportunity. She's quite the celebrity as well. Okay, but that's the PG answer. Give us, what happens like after you win in the locker room? I know that was like a day game too, which I think is probably weird because you start hitting that champagne at like noon. Like, how do you survive that?
Well, I think they really helped me out. I actually was one of three players to get drug tested right after the gold medal.
Oh, because you were sick. That's why.
So myself, Claire Thompson, and Renata Fast all had urine and blood testing after the gold medal game.
Blood?
So, yeah. So also, don't get blood drawn before you have to celebrate. That's not an ideal situation.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, so we missed about an hour and a half of the dressing room celebration, and I could hear, I was on the wall connected into the dressing room.
Oh, that's
so tough. I could hear every song that was played, and I knew exactly what was happening.
Oh.
So I had a little bit of FOMO, to say the least.
You think? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, drawing blood before going to binge
don't recommend.
Is not ideal. Okay, do you remember FaceTiming me?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Of course I do.
To make
that
sure.
Was I think I told Britt that we needed to FaceTime you. So it was a pretty special moment. And then, I don't know, like, it was just awesome to be around. We had a lot of the men's team was there with us after. I actually, everybody chirped me for it at the beginning of the Olympics, but we had quite a bit of downtime. Like, we were in our rooms for a couple of days, and then we had a lot of downtime after our practices because we'd only have one practice and a workout a day. So I put together, the Canadian Olympic Committee sent over a ping pong table. So I built a ping pong table by myself. It came into use afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
That much. So it was, I was very happy and proud of myself for that one, because that was my major contribution during the Olympics was the ping pong table.
Well, you did go to Clarkson. I'm sure there's some ping pong play, to say the least.
Yeah.
How was Stace? Because, I mean, as a Dartmouth grad, Laura Stacey and I, we pride ourselves on being good ping pong players. Was she? Did she show up well on that one?
She did not participate in Dartmouth type ping pong.
Okay.
That was not. That's not a very inclusive game, I think is the right way to put it. It was pretty special though. Like, we as women's hockey players taught a lot of different games to the other athletes that were in there with us. The speed skaters were there with us for a while, so it was. Honestly, we got to know a lot of other athletes, which, because of the COVID, was a little bit more difficult during the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it was awesome. And then I do have to shout her out again. Britt McLean came in clutch. We came home from the rink, and Britt had brought over all of the KFC and all of the Pizza Hut for the girls. So shout out to the MVP of the night, which was Britt McLean.
I love it. Britt is a mutual friend of ours. She's an Olympic swimmer, and she was also working for the Canadian Olympic Committee on site. So lots of really cool connections. I want to ask you a little bit about what's going on with Hockey Canada as well. You know, you've worn that crest for many, many years. Obviously, what's happening with the testimonies and the hearings is quite devastating, I'm sure, as a player. What was the initial feeling around the women's team? And I know you've put out a statement and a little bit on how you guys got to that level of feeling like it was time to speak out.
Well, I think first off, I have to say that it is an honor. It's an honor to represent your country. I think regardless of what is happening with Hockey Canada right now, we as women's hockey players understand and know that it's an incredible honor to be able to represent our country. And that is our main thing right now, is that regardless of everything that's going on, it's still an opportunity for us to go and represent our country and our women's game. I think that we as athletes, you mentioned the statement, which I couldn't be more proud to release in the sense of our players committee put that together and made sure that we informed Canada and the rest of the hockey world what our thoughts were. And we do demand the truth, and that's no secret. I think that's pretty much along the lines of every single Canadian in this country. But for us, it's just about making sure that we continue to represent our game the way that we can best. And for us, that is continuing to hold the high standard that we as a group have created and have had over the years. Do all things align with where Hockey Canada is at? No. I would say that we are a bit of an anomaly with the women's side and the women's program, and we're proud of that, and that's not going to change because of everything that Hockey Canada is going through right now. So it's a difficult thing to talk about, but at the same time, we felt it was important to make sure that we weren't shying away from sharing what our thoughts are. And obviously, at the end of the day, still going to compete for a gold medal representing our country.
I love how you said you are proud of that statement. And that's how I felt, too. Obviously, I'm quite close with a lot of you guys on the team. Also, I was a player, and I think that the women's game is very tight-knit, and I felt really proud to share that as well. So just a thank you for that. So I know you might not really be able to weigh in as much as you'd like on this, but the leadership calls for change here with the way that the board is structured, with the way that the lack of diversity is felt. Would that be something that your team would align with in terms of getting new faces in there, especially more women?
Well, I obviously can't speak for every player, mm-hmm. But I am quite positive that majority, if not all of us, yes, there needs to be more diversity. We've said that for a very long time, not just since everything's come about. We were greeted by the board at our ring ceremony for our world championship rings, and it was quite apparent. I mean, I watched the hearing on Tuesday, all the days.
And
when Kevin Watt called out Hockey Canada and said, this is not where the game of hockey is at. And it's so true. You look at the NHL and the steps that it's taken, and the NHL is behind. The game of hockey is behind majority of sports, major sports right now. There's no doubt about that. And I think that we have been adamant about that over the years, especially probably the last quad. But you look at Marie-Philippe Poulin stepping into new roles. You have the Vancouver Canucks and what they've continued to do, the Seattle Kraken with Jeff Campbell. All of these teams are taking steps, and Hockey Canada prides themselves in being the staple of what Canada or hockey in Canada is like. And that's something that we haven't done as an organization in Hockey Canada. They haven't been the front runner in involving more women. And that's something that obviously we mentioned in our statement. And me personally, I do believe that more women need to be involved in the organization across the board.
I think that's extremely well put. It's not just because, hey, other places are hiring women, whether that's for diversity or because they're well qualified. It just needs to be other voices in the room when decisions are made. When these type of situations do arise, you need people to be able to speak from experience and speak from what it feels like to be, a woman in this type of world. So I think that's a well put statement. And I know that the team, I'm sure a lot of them are feeling the same way. You do mention that a lot of, especially over the last month, it feels like a lot of our former players or current players that we've played with have taken, incredible strides in terms of being involved in the NHL, the men's game in general, into coaching and broadcasting. I wonder if, I know your career is not even close to being over, what your interest level would be, in that post career, or even I know you guys aren't working full-time jobs right now, but you got Poulin who's, doing stuff on the side. You have other players that are able to manage both. Not that I'm saying you need to do that, but would there be a role that you would be interested in? Anyone listening can keep this in mind as well.
Yes, I'm going to say thank you right now, Ailish, for putting out my LinkedIn information at the moment, because that is something that is extremely important to me and extremely it's something I'm very passionate about. I would love to get involved in the game. I think one of my biggest strengths is how I see the game and how I process the game of hockey, and that is not specific to women's hockey. That is across the board the game of hockey. I do feel like I have a lot of strength in that aspect, and I think that that is something that I want to be able to share at all the levels that I can. Mm-hmm. I know that Concordia University and coaching there was a huge step for me, not only in a career of coaching, but also in my career of hockey and getting to see different things and how they work from both sides. And it gave me a better understanding of how coaches prepare and how to communicate with coaches better. And I think that that was a big step for me. And I hope that that is not the only step that I take in pursuing a coaching career, a management career, anything involved in the game of hockey.
I have no doubt that you will get there. And I know you were involved in the Sportsnet. What was the wording of that? The rookie
training camp.
Training camp. I know you're involved in the Sportsnet did their first ever training camp where they had a lot of former and current athletes come in. Actually, Ricky was in there as well.
He was.
It was really cool to watch from the outside. Is a media career, or was there anything that came out of that that you really enjoyed, you know, learning and seeing, getting to sit beside some of the best in the game as well?
Yes. Again, thank you, Ailish. We'll also put that out on...
do you need a PR agent? Because I could also do that on the side.
Yeah, like, it's something I love. Madison Cuckoo did a phenomenal job in bringing in, obviously, great up-and-coming faces in the games across the board, whether that be basketball, baseball, hockey. And then, additionally, bringing in some of Sportsnet's greatest. And I hate to say that in the same sentence as Jeff Merrick, but he's been
phenomenal. I'm sure he's listening somewhere from a cottage.
He said he has a call right now, so he's going to listen on a podcast.
Well, you better like, subscribe, and download the Fan Morning Show Hour 4.
I agree. So he has been a great mentor and friend for me over the last couple of years with Sportsnet, and I hope to continue that relationship and obviously grow my relationship within Sportsnet. I think, again, just the way that I can dissect things and just give feedback. I also like to think like I'm a little bit funny. I'm not going to compare myself to Kevin Bieksa because I cannot compete with him. But nobody can. But throwing in a little bit of flair and just getting to share my knowledge with whoever is listening is, and if you don't agree with it, then good. Like I think that that's sometimes important as well,
sure,
to hear different perspectives. So definitely something I'm still interested in and hopeful for a future in that as well.
I love it. And don't worry, I hear many different perspectives every single day from our loyal listeners. So don't you worry about that. Okay, so Aaron, we'll let you go now. But when you're back from World Championships, hopefully with another gold, we'll go to the Rogers Center together. We'll cheer on those Blue Jays, hopefully in the postseason. And then we will discuss your favorite changes to the Rogers Center upcoming.
I would love that. And I also wanted to say I will be using a little bit of Billy Talent for some pregame
pick-me-up
because that was phenomenal yesterday.
Right? I know. We grew up in the same era, the same small town. Must have been a Billy Talent community because it just still, it slaps. It's the best.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And it definitely was on one of our burn CDs in the dressing room.
Oh, yes. All right. Okay, thanks, Aaron, for joining us. You know, keep working hard and we'll be watching in the couple weeks when you head out for the World Championships.
Thank you, Ailish. Enjoy the long weekend.
Thanks. Yes. That was Aaron Ambrose, Olympic gold medalist at the most recent Olympics, a Keswick girl. Any of our Georgina listeners, you had a little connection there. Sutton, Keswick, Aaron and I grew up together playing. We played boys hockey together. Actually, Chris Tierney, who's an NHLer, was also one of our teammates. We had a lot of studs from the Georgina region. Also, Erin Ambrose has an Erin Ambrose Day that was created this year because of her incredible contributions to our small town. I know there's a couple Sutton Keswick listeners. Okay, so you can text in 590-590 if you ever got to see the great Erin Ambrose play. That was a great interview. Make sure you guys watch this summer, I guess the end of the summer, when the women's team goes to defend gold. They're going to be in Denmark, which is, I think, the first time that tournament's held there. Be pretty cool to see. It'll be important because they're coming off a gold medal in the Olympics, a gold medal at the World Championship. Sometimes that's a really tough thing to continue with momentum. I believe they've been working even harder more dedicated than ever, because you don't want to let those Americans or the Finnish players or anyone back in the conversation. You want to continue your dominance, and I believe that they will. Wow, someone just texted in. Hey, no joke. I'm heading to Ambrose Street right now. That's Matt the Garbage Man, who listens every day. He's a big fan of the show. Look at that, Ambrose Street. It's spreading across the continent. Aaron Ambrose Hour. We're going to take a break, and we're going to continue with the elite athletes. We got Ricky Romero on the other side of the break. Let's talk some Rogers Center tweaks. Let's talk Kikuchi, who came back yesterday from a few weeks off and really did impress. I think personally was really excited to see him get a good start under his belt. And hopefully that helps the Jays with a big weekend ahead and the MLB trade deadline in just a few days. Ricky Romero after the break.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Fan Morning Show, the Ailish Hour. Having an absolute blast here. It's Friday of the long weekend. 20 minutes. 25 minutes left. Not that I'm counting. You know, I'm having a great time with my two athlete guests. Fun Fridays. Maybe we'll just brand that as the vibe going forward. Text 590-590. We're going to talk to Ricky Romero. I want to know your thoughts on the Blue Jays stadium renovations. MLB trade deadline. When will the Jays get active? And then, yeah, this is obviously the Billy Talent Power Hour as well. We're crushing that. So if you're a Billy Talent fan, love to hear it. Okay, Ricky Romero joining us right now, former Blue Jay and All-Star, current Sportsnet analyst and host, SiriusXM MLB Network Radio as well. Hey, Ricky, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
It's great. I got to meet you in real life. You are a real man. I got to shake the hand at the Blue Jays golf tournament we were at on Monday. How'd you play?
I did all right. It was definitely obviously a fun tournament, and it was good to see a lot of the alumni. A lot of us hadn't seen each other in a while, and it'd been more than a while. I feel like 2-3 years since we last saw each other, and it was good to catch up with the guys. It was good to finally meet you, and I played all right though. I held my own, and it's tough on a scramble, obviously. When you're about 4 or 5 hours into the round and you're still on hole like 15, you kind of start wearing out a little bit. But other than that, it was really, really fun.
Yeah, I had a blast. We didn't get to play the real part of the tournament. They put Justin Cuthbert and I over on the par 3 away from everybody. But I also shot well. It was a blast. I got to see a lot of really awesome players, former players. Who are you most excited to see after a while, you said, of being up here in Toronto?
Yeah, I mean, probably the guys that I played with, like Dustin McGowan and Scott Richmond and Travis Snyder, but obviously some of the older guys that I hadn't seen in a while, in Shaker, Boyd Mosby, and Matt Stairs, and Tim Raines, and just seeing them again, and just kind of everything kind of back to normal, and shaking hands, giving them big hugs, and all that good stuff was fun. Again, it's almost like... The Blue Jays do such a good job in getting the alumni together that you almost feel like you're a big family, even though I didn't play with some of those guys. And the 92, 93 guys, it's like they're legends in this city. So when you're around them and just, you know, how they treat you and how they go about their business and stuff like that, it's always fun to see that because, again, they're big time around here. And you can just see it when they walk into a room, how they light it up and how much fans really love that team and love the players from that era. And that's always fun to see.
I think that's a great way to put it. I mean, I'm sitting there watching a bunch of legends walk around trying to act like a pro, you know, I'm just a broadcaster, but it's really exciting to see everyone back in one place. We just had Aaron Ambrose on, who I know you've met recently, a hockey player in the off season. You know, we're big golfers, but what do Blue Jays players do in your limited off season? Are you golfing or is there like a different sport that you're doing and not hitting the links?
Well, I didn't pick up golf till after I retired. I hated it for a long time. And I really regret that because I feel like now that I come back here to Toronto, we have a house here mm-hmm. in the Mississauga area, Port Credit area. And I see all these beautiful courses. I'm like, man, I was missing out on a lot. Like, but a lot of the guys that when I was playing, a lot of the guys would play, you know, on game days and especially more pitchers. And it's easier for starters to go out there on the links and mm-hmm. play when you're not pitching and you know you're not going to pitch that night. And I always, like, my thing was always, who the hell gets up that early to go golf? I'd rather sleep in. And that was my whole thing when I was 23, 24 years old. And now I'm, like, older, and I'm like, man, I should have been golfing. And now I wouldn't stink as bad as I do right now. And I feel like I'm way behind than some of the guys.
Well, now you can get up early, listen to the Fan Morning Show on your way to the golf course, and you'll be even better out there. Okay, so let's talk about the Rogers Centre renovations upcoming. You know, they're putting $300 million into this building. The first question I have for you, and it's something that's been in the text line, it's something that people have tweeted at me. What is the deal with grass? Like, you're a player. How important is real grass versus turf?
Baseball's played in real grass. Mm-hmm. That's my thing behind it. And there's nothing better than having grass stains. Seeing players with grass stains on their uniform from, like, diving and stuff like that. And I get it. You know, obviously it's tough to grow grass here at the stadium, it being indoors, you know, having a real winter. Obviously when you walk into Dodger Stadium, where that's where I grew up going, and you see the grass there, you're like, it's like a putting green. But obviously they get beautiful weather every single day, right? And there's no issues there. So I don't know how that works, but that's my whole thing. There's something about just being around real grass that just makes it feel like a real baseball atmosphere. And just the turf, I feel like over time, no matter how good it keeps getting, it just feels like it just, from everything that's out there, it's just not good for your body and stuff like that. Obviously there's hard mm-hmm. pavement under the stadium or under the turf, and it just, again, it's just one of those things where you rather feel and play in something more natural and more organic, which is real grass.
Well, it makes sense to me. I mean, I also love the smell of fresh cut grass. I know that's not something that would exactly. ever happen in the ballpark. I don't know, but like, you're walking through a lovely neighborhood and you smell someone's cut the grass. It's just, yeah, there's nothing like it. Okay. So that's not coming to the Rogers Center. Sorry to everyone in the text line that's frustrated about it. Maybe the next one. But a lot of things that are happening, upgraded seating, upgraded lounge areas, some changes to the outfield, though, and I want to know what that would feel like as a player to now have center field jutting out and different levels of heights of the walls. Like, is that a concern, or is it something that you're just going to deal with and every ballpark is different?
Yeah, I think you just deal with it from a player standpoint and just adapt to it. That's simple. And I think the what the Blue Jays are obviously trying to do is the fan experience, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to watch these guys throw a bullpen, get ready for a game, because the bullpens are going to be raised up. Now you're not going to have a perch up there where everyone's sitting, you know, where you have three guys sitting and then four other guys are down by the fence looking at the game. Now you're going to have everyone all on one level, and I think that's pretty cool. And as far as the fan experience, when you see the levels that they've created, and it just it looks like it's more modern, right? I mean, obviously where I feel like the Rogers Center obviously is a little bit older compared to, we're seeing all these state-of-the-art stadiums built nowadays, and you're just like, whoa, like, that's really cool. And I think that's what they're trying to do here, and just be a little bit more of a fan experience and a little bit more fun, a little bit more party atmosphere from the looks of it. It's just mm-hmm. it almost feels like you're going to be out on a patio.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that Shapiro said as well, is it's going to be the best rooftop patio in the city.
Right, and that's kind of the feel that it has, and I like that. Especially, you know, baseball is during the summer when the weather starts getting nice and stuff like that. There's nothing more beautiful to me than going to a stadium. I was at the game yesterday, and just the weather and you get the nice, you know, sky and all that stuff. It's so cool to see that, and the fans into it. Obviously, they have a great team right now, and they're rolling, and I feel like, you know, it's gonna the it's only a matter of time before this place starts getting filled up again. And again, when you add a, you know, new renovations and stuff like that to it, it makes it that more exciting as a fan. And again, to me, the coolest part is obviously the bullpen, and I'm talking from a player's perspective, mm-hmm. player standpoint, is with them things being raised up, and now everyone's able to watch the game comfortably, warm up. The fans get to watch you warm up. It's almost like feels a little bit like those bullpens, a little bit like Seattle, where you know in Seattle the fans get to watch you warm up and get to see the whole routine and everything. And I think that's part of being having that fan experience and feeling like you're part of it.
Okay, but on the other side of that, they're adding more beer garden-esque things. And what if you're an opposing pitcher and you're in this raised bullpen and there's a couple more rowdy fans leaning over? Is that something that ever affected you, or you're able to shut that out?
No, you're able to shut it down. And I think that's part of it. That's also part of having home field advantage, right? And if you're an opposing team, you know... that coming in, it's going to be rowdy. I mean, in Fenway, the fans are literally breathing down your neck, and they're calling balls and strikes. For me, I remember one year they literally called balls and strikes the whole time I warmed up. Ball one, ball two, David Ortiz 3-run home run, and he's like, "Oh no, Ricky, you're out of the second inning." And the whole time, it's like they were like calling the game, and just like, and you just kind of you laugh at it, right? I mean, because it's not like. You can't tell me and say, oh, yeah, I blocked that out. No, because they're literally in your ear at Fenway Park. And, again, it's part of the fan experience. As long as, obviously, it's all in fun and stuff like that, I'm cool with it. And, obviously, you don't want to hear anybody be disrespectful or anything like that or you know, have any issues mm-hmm. like that. But, again, it's part of the experience, and I feel like opposing teams better buckle up because I have heard that Blue Jay fans in the outfield are about as rowdy as it gets.
I cannot confirm nor deny if that is me sometimes, but I have definitely heard the rowdy outfield Blue Jays. I think it also probably is exciting if you're a pitcher and you go out there, in your case at least, you're in an opposing ballpark, you come in and then you crush it and you get to walk off and be like, everyone's a little quiet exactly. now, aren't they? Hopefully it doesn't happen the other way
exactly.
around.
Something that's, the opposite of that. I mean, I still remember throwing a complete game in Yankee Stadium, and I gave up two early runs. I think Mark Teixeira hit a home run off me, and then the whole place is going crazy, and then all of a sudden I find myself in the ninth inning, and then third out is recorded, and you're like, okay, this is what it feels like to quiet down 40,000, 50,000 people.
I love it. Okay, talking about finding your game, it's a perfect transition into Kikuchi, who came back after 3 weeks, I believe, without pitching. I thought he had a great return. It looked like after that first inning, there's that hard hit double. In previous Kikuchi games, you could have seen him start to doubt himself and get a little bit out of his rhythm. What did you like best about his return last night?
Yeah, I thought he was solid. And I think one of the biggest things that we saw was how much he trusted his fastball and the fastball command, him being efficient. He was down in the zone with that fastball. He got some swing and misses. And I don't care how good his slider, his changeup, his curveball, whatever he throws secondary, everything's going to work off his fastball. And it seemed like everything did work off his fastball. And I think we got to give credit to Danny Jansen, too, being back there. And I feel like he took control of the game and said, hey, let follow me. And I've been saying this all week. I felt like he was probably going to be the X factor in this and making him believe and trust in his stuff. Because, again, his stuff, his fastball plays. And I don't care if it was the Tigers or, you know, who are one of the worst teams in baseball or the best team in baseball. You still got to go out there and get outs because baseball in any given day, these guys can come out and flat out, you know, hit and get you out of the game early. And that's just the way it is. So it's tough to get 15, 21 outs in the big league. So credit to him for coming out and doing his thing. He looked comfortable. He felt you can just see a different type of body language, and I feel like that's what you were referring to earlier right now. Like you just right, we just saw a little bit more like he was amped up, and for me, if he gives up hard hit balls, I don't care. It's the walks, right? I mean,
right.
You don't want to see him walk anybody. If you go out there and you with your best stuff, you get beat, and it's a bad night, so be it, you know. But it almost seemed like he was like he gave up that home run, and it was like boom, next pitch, strike one, get out of the inning. And now we're back in the dugout and regroup, in between innings, get back out there and get three quick outs. And it just seemed like his tempo was just so good last night. It just seemed like if it was ball one, boom, he was getting the ball, getting back on the mound. Here we go, boom, strike one. And it just seemed like it just that trend continued all night. And it's good to see because, again, he is going to be a key part to this rotation, and he's a guy that they're going to have to rely on because he was brought in to be that guy, and the stuff is there. The secondary stuff was there, too, last night. But, again, his fastball command to me was the key.
I know there's been times in your career where you've struggled, and to get back into a step in the right direction, how hard is that midseason? Maybe even with the fact that there's an all-star break in the middle of that where you get out of rhythm regardless, what was the type of stuff that Kikuchi probably went through over the last few weeks to get back to a confident Kikuchi?
Yeah, well, first off, he was probably mentally draining for him the first half, and he was like, and I think that the Blue Jays did the right thing, obviously, going on the IL and kind of just taking a deep breath and just kind of stepping back and just saying, okay, what do we have to do here to regroup for the second half? And it's almost like he went in, did the work, because it's not like he's not out there going to work, trying to find his game, trying to figure things out. And it just seemed like he did. And credit to him, because, again, he could easily just be like, you know what, this is not my year, I'm done. Whatever, you know, and it just seems like he's been quite the opposite. And you got to give credit to him, tip your hat off to him for doing that. And it almost seems like, again, I think he was trying to be more athletic, trying to be more from what I heard from what they were saying on TV was that, you know, they took him out at shortstop. He was fielding ground balls or fielding his own position and just trying to be athletic and explosive. And it seemed like last night that carried into the game, and he was explosive with his fastball. And again, you like to see a smile on his face because, mm-hmm. again, you mentioned about me and the struggles and stuff like that. It's not fun. It's not fun when you're struggling, when you feel like you're letting, you know, the fans down, your team down, yourself down. And it's just a lonely place. And it was definitely good to see him back out there and doing his thing.
For sure. And then you got Manoah on the mound tonight and hopefully continuing his incredible dominance this season. And the Jays are red hot right now going into the trade deadline. And before I let you go, what's the trade deadline like as a player, whether you're on the move or not, or you're on a great team, or you're on a team that's a seller? Is there a little bit of anxiety this weekend for some of the players?
You know what? It was unfortunate that the teams that I played on, we never really made big deals. I think at times we were sellers most of mm-hmm. the time. I think in 2009, when we traded Scott Rowland for the great Edwin Encarnacion, and nobody knew who Eddie was at the time. But and then in 2010 or 11, we had a decent shot at maybe making the playoff push, and we didn't make any moves, and that was a little bit disappointing. So I can only imagine, I mean, what it's like. I'm sure some of the players are antsy, especially when you're on the winning side like the Blue Jays are right now. They're probably wondering who's going to go, what moves are going to be made. I'm mm-hmm. sure there's a little bit of that. And, you know, as far as moves, obviously, you know, the biggest talk has been the bullpen and if they're going to bring in an arm or maybe two. And I think that's where they feel I feel like there's the biggest needs. Obviously, there's a few names across the dugout from the team that they're playing right now that have been mentioned, and like Joe Jimenez and Gregory Soto, who would be great additions. And obviously, there's like a Daniel Bard out there who's had a really good career so far. I mean, he came back after semi-retiring, and then now he's back with the Colorado Rockies doing his thing. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting what they do. I feel like everyone, though, the whole country of Canada is sitting on edge right now, just wondering what Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins are going to do next. So I'm excited, and hopefully the deadline brings some good stuff to the team.
I agree. It's going to be an exciting one, especially with the city abuzz right now. I hope you get a chance to enjoy a little bit of downtime. Have your kids convinced you to move to Toronto yet? I know that's been a conversation in the household.
I actually just dropped off he's been at camp all summer, and he is so we go home tomorrow finally. We've been here the whole month, and it's been awesome. I wish we could stay longer, but he actually did say, hey, Dad, if you come back in August for, like, work, can I come back with you? And you can just sign me up for the camp. So he's enjoyed it a lot. And yes, he's tried to convince me to sell our house in California, and I told him he's crazy.
Well, it's great to have both. That's awesome. I love it. Thanks so much for joining us today, and also safe trip back home.
Absolutely. Anytime, Ailish. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much. That was Ricky Romero, former Blue Jay and an All-Star, and one of our Sportsnet talent now. Just crushing it. Lovely to see him back at the Blue Jays Jays Care Gala the other day. Whether he said he played well or not, I don't believe him. I think he crushed it. Very humble guy. So I know you. A lot of you have texted in some of your Rogers Center updates that you like, that you wish had happened. But I got to read this one on the air from Carter. Carter from Sutton High School alumni. It's my hometown. Listen every day and love the show. You're killing it. You both make everyone from Georgina proud to call this place home. Keep up the amazing work and good luck to our amazing women's team at the World Championships. Thanks, Carter. That's lovely. That's to me and Aaron. I really appreciate it. Go Sutton Rangers, go. One quick message here about Chris from Beamsville. University of Guelph researched the grass, the dome, and it cannot be done. Well, University of Guelph knows best. I know they have actually really good agriculture program, so you just got to believe them. Before we take a break and head on to Blair and Barker and I head on to my long weekend, it's time for the feel-good story of the day. This one is quite special. So 2 days ago, the Orioles had Mo Gabba Day. Gabba was a late 14-year-old who passed away, an Orioles super fan. Was elected to the Orioles Hall of Fame in 2020 before his passing. He endured four different types of cancer, lost his battle. So they had a beautiful ceremony for him. First pitch was thrown out by his mother. All of the donations went to cancer research. The Orioles catcher, or the catcher of the first pitch, was Trey Mancini, who also overcame stage 3 colon cancer, which had him not play for an entire season. So in some sort of fairy tale scripting, this is what happened in the game for Trey Mancini.
In the ear to right. Low will drip back. Low doesn't see it. Low lost the ball. Here comes Hayes. Trey's going to go to third. Trey's going to be waved home. Here comes Mancini.
Save!
A fairy tale has come to life.
Whew, that one gives you the chills. An inside the park home run in what might be Trey Mancini's last at bat as an Oriole at Camden Yards. Certainly an incredibly memorable one on a very special day. The two share that connection. Also, the Baltimore Orioles, one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. So really exciting to see. We wish both families all the best. And Trey Mancini's future with the Orioles, if that's the way it goes out, it's a pretty great way to have that lasting memory. As I said, long weekend ahead. We won't be on the air Monday, JD and I, for the Fan Morning Show. It's going to be quite the exciting weekend here in Toronto. Going to be at the ballpark Saturday, so I'm actually going to be there with 15 of my college teammates that are coming up for the weekend. So if you see a collection of rowdy girls in the stadium, that's probably us. We're going to have an absolute blast. Should be a beautiful weekend at the Rogers Center before the big upgrades. Really excited to see that. We're playing you out with a little Friday, Rebecca Black. One of the best tunes of all time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend and talk to you Tuesday at the MLB trade deadline.